to study from Luke chapter 23 this morning, and I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Luke 23. This morning we're going to, in the next few minutes, look at two malefactors and our Lord, two criminals and our Lord. We're going to look at two thieves, as the Bible describes them, and our Lord. We're going to talk of both thieves briefly, learn a lesson or two from them. And I'm going to read from these verses. Actually, I want to read from some verses both preceding and following to get the context, to get the setting of what we're going to look at here. Verse 33, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now there was also an inscription above him, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last." People react differently to impending death. Jesus is nailed to a cross, and two men, one on each side, were nailed to crosses beside him. Two men faced death besides Jesus. And one of them faces it with bitterness and anger, and the other one has put that aside and recognizes with humility his need. Death has a way of causing us to reorganize our priorities. The thief starts out by lashing out, but ends in paradise. Luke doesn't record it, but Matthew does, and that is when the two thieves were first put up next to Jesus, both of them were sneering at him. Both of them were verbally insulting him. But at some point, one of those thieves, we don't know whether it was on the left or the right-hand side, but one of those thieves has a change of heart, has a change of perspective, and realizes his need. You know, the thief starts by lashing out, but it's not the end of the story for him. There is an amazing thing about God's mercy and grace and forgiveness and his patience with us. And that is that he is wanting us, no matter how late in life it may be for us, no matter how hopeless it may seem for us. The Bible says the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of wisdom. If I develop a healthy fear of God, that opens up the pathway for us to become wise.
Good.
The thief knew the most important thing, that he was to die. What future did he have? At this point, none. It was the end of the line for this thief. He couldn't talk his way out of this. He couldn't get down off of that cross. He knew that his death was imminent. It was the end of the line, and he prepared for it. It's never too late. We tend to think that we're not going to die. Now, I know that we know we're going to die, but most people still live life thinking that death is far, far off, very distant. And it's so far away that it really is not something that I need to think about. But we ought to live our lives, every day of our lives, as though it could be our last day. Should we not? Because we don't know that it might be that way. Now, the Lord may bless us with decades more of life, but we just don't know. There's no guarantee other than what we have today. We have plans, we have strength, we have health, we have education, we have a future, we have a career, we have all of those things, but we never know what will happen. If you have a chance, read from Genesis chapter 5. And we won't do it today because of the time factor, but read from Genesis chapter 5 and read about the first 20 or 30 verses. And you will see names that you recognize, and it says, and so-and-so lived, and he died. And such-and-such lived, and he died. And this person lived, and he died. And it says it in those words, and he died. Let me tell you a story about a classmate I had when I was at Sunset, Steve Davis. Just a fine, dedicated man. He loved the Lord. He made plans to go to Liberia as a missionary. In fact, he was going to be part of a team of three, John Littlejohn, Steve Davis, and David Cron. The three of them were going to go to Liberia, and they were getting all of their things together. They were studying, they were preparing support, and so forth. Steve was a young man. He had a young wife, a young child, and one day, in the midst of all of these plans, he had a car wreck, but it wasn't a bad car wreck in the sense of being smashed up. He slipped off the road, the car flipped, and there was a shallow puddle of water, and he couldn't get out, and he drowned. And he left a widow, a young child. And he was a young man. It was just so surprising, so shocking to all of us who knew Steve and loved Steve as a man who was going to preach for the rest of his life. What I'm saying is, if you need to change, don't put it off. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't assume that you have days and weeks and months and years to go. Do what needs to be done when the opportunity is there before you, because you just don't know what the future holds. The second point on this lesson, we know we need help from him who died. It is interesting, it's amazing to me, as Jesus hung upon that cross and as this one thief realizes his need of help, he is asking help of someone who's being crucified. And Jesus never cried out for help. He never cried out with complaints and blaming others. He who was being crucified was in a position and readiness to help this thief if the thief wanted help. The thief came to a great realization. Help! You know, I've got a theory. That if there is one word that is uttered more than any other one word in prayer to God around the world, it's probably the word help. Is it not? How many times have you said, God, help me?
Every day
and multiple times a day. That word is probably the most frequently used word in prayer. Think about it. Millions of people. thief lived under the old covenant. It was a covenant of condemnation. He doesn't know a lot, but he does know this. The Lord can help, and I need help, and that pleases the Lord. The Lord is pleased when people acknowledge their need of help. The problem that many people have is, I don't need help. I can do it myself. I'm wise enough, I'm strong enough, I'm good enough, I'm intelligent enough, but I'm not. I need help. And so do you. And this thief on the cross realized this. Think about this. As Jesus hung upon the cross, he hadn't been freshly showered. Jesus was covered with dirt, blood. He was in pain. He was tired beyond words. There was a sadness, and he was surrounded by hatred of those who wanted to kill him. And yet there was something about Jesus that shined through all of that, and the thief sees it. Now, on the subject of the thief on the cross and salvation, sometimes people say, can't I be saved like the thief on the cross? Because he wasn't baptized? Prove to me he wasn't baptized. Because he may have been. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us whether he was baptized or not. I think there's a possibility he was, but I don't know. I know this, that this thief knew enough about Jesus from past experience that he said, this man has done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing wrong. We have done things wrong, but this man is innocent, and he doesn't deserve to die. How did the thief know that? He knew enough about Jesus. He had learned enough about Jesus that he knew there was something unique and special and different about him. And all he as a thief knew was he needed help. And here was one who could help him. The one who could help him was hanging on a cross. Imagine that. Jesus never complained. He never blamed. He never got impatient. He never got angry at others for expressing their need. He just was the Lord. The only one who is going to be saved like the thief on the cross is the thief on the cross. Is baptism needed for salvation? Yes, it is. Because the thief lived and died under the old covenant. But we live under a new covenant. And the message that we have is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. And that was spoken to his disciples, his apostles, by the risen, the resurrected Lord, after he had come out of that tomb. Don't live as though nothing mattered and then on your deathbed change. Don't wait for a deathbed to change. There's no promise in that. God's revealed way is what you are to do, what I am to do today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off what you know needs to be done. Number three on our outline. What are you looking for? Are you looking for forgiveness? The cross has forgiveness. Kneel at the cross. It is at the cross, at the crucified Savior Jesus, from which all of our salvation and all of our hope is based. Kneel at the cross. Be meeting him at the cross. You say, well, wait a minute. That was 2,000 years ago. How do I do that? By faith. When you read the record of these scriptures, when you read these verses and you see what it has to say, accept what it says and say, I believe that. I will accept that. I will do what it has to say because it's an accurate historical record. What we're reading when we read the scriptures is an accurate eyewitness account of men who wrote what they saw. They had no ulterior motive because the men who wrote these things, They almost all died martyrs' deaths. They had nothing to gain. They had everything to lose to talk about Christ and his death, his burial, and rest. Everything to lose. They didn't get rich by it. They didn't get famous. In fact, it was just the opposite. But they preached it because they said it's a fact. This is what happened. You may not like it. You may disagree with it. But it's a fact. It is the truth. And I have to, you know, speaking of the apostles, they said, we have to say it. We have to preach what this truth is because it is the truth. He told the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus will be in paradise. The saints of the Old and New Testament will be there. You know what's in there? What's in heaven? Goodness and purity and honesty and no temptation. Love and peace. You don't have to have locks on your doors. I don't know if you have doors or not in heaven, but you don't need to have locks there. Because everyone there is there because they have developed honest character. They don't lie, they don't steal. That's heaven. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. The cross is the key to paradise. There is no shortcut. There is no shortcut to paradise, no shortcut to heaven. It is the cross of Jesus Christ, and only that. And then number four, what has he got to give us? Verse 43. We looked at different reactions to impending death. We looked at the one who needed help from him who died. We looked at what are we looking for. And then number four, what has he to give? An entrance. I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. It's an entrance. Jesus and his cross, it is the doorway, it is the entrance into the gifts, the blessings of God. Jesus cares about your needs, even on that cross. Think about his suffering. Think about how all of us, if we were in that situation, all we would be thinking about is how awful, how painful, how difficult, how terrible is this situation. And you know what Jesus was doing? He was thinking of others. In the midst of the crucifixion, he still looked outside of himself at what others needed. I'm amazed at that. Are you? I mean, that is stunning to me. That he was totally still thinking about the needs of others. He thought of his mother and her needs. He thought of the thief and his needs. That's an example for us. That's an example for us. If he can do this while on a cross, think what he can do on the right hand of God. And he sits at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for us, mediating for us, loving us. He is in our midst today. He's here today with us. Isn't that just a glorious thought? He cares about even a small congregation, although this congregation is getting bigger. It's getting bigger. But he cares about his people wherever they're living, wherever they're assembling, all over the world. In fact, even when they're not assembling, he cares about them. You know, we don't stop being the church just because we leave the church building. Did you know that? We don't become the church because we're here together. We are the church whether we are here or whether we are out in our different homes and jobs and so forth. That's what the church is. So what we need to do is to stop thinking life is endless here and live as though today was our last day. Yes. Well, the question is asked, if a man die, will he live again? The answer is yes. Death is coming. Now, we are at the time of season when people talk about the birth of Christ, about the baby Jesus, and that's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad for that. That's a good thing that we're doing, that we see. But we need to remember, it's the adult Jesus on the cross that saves from sin. And while we love the baby Jesus and we rejoice that people appreciate that, let's always remember the gospel message contains also the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection. We are mortals. Lord, help us to realize that, because then we can be immortal. And so we need Christ today. Amen. You need Christ today. And all those helps that you cry out, help, he hears them and he'll answer. The way he answers may not be exactly what we think it should be, but he knows best anyway. Better than I do. Better than you do. So I leave you with this lesson, that our Lord hung upon a cross. He had two malefactors. Both of them sneered at him at first. Matthew tells us that. But then one had a change of heart and saw his need and wanted his need fulfilled. Because he had nowhere to go. He had nowhere else to go. That was it for him. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come now while we stand and sing.